So the title of the message this morning, Spring Into the Resurrection Power, Spring Into His Resurrection Power. And the reason I named it that is because today is Resurrection Day, but we're also in the spring, and there's some things about that, and we're going to talk about that here in a moment. Now, I've got a lot of scripture. Let me just say this. There are several things about this season, this time, that are important. The first thing we're going to talk about is the Passover. You know, what we call, many people call Easter, I like to call it Resurrection Day. This whole thing, the death, burial, and resurrection, all coincides with the Passover of the Old Testament. And that was found in Exodus chapter 12, verses 7 through 13. Now, the picture that we have in Exodus chapter 12 is this. You have Pharaoh refusing to turn the people of God, the Israelites, loose. He was refusing to do that. Moses showed up there, ordained by God to say, let my people go. He refused to do that. And it kept going on and on and on and on. But it was the Passover that delivered them. It was the Passover that delivered God's people. What was the Passover? God said, take the blood of a lamb. And it had to be a spotless lamb. And you take that blood and you put it on the doorpost on both sides and on the top. And whoever is inside of that home will be spared when the angel of death passes over. Really, what that is a picture of the wrath of God for sin passing over. It says, and instead of going into your house, it's going to pass over you. It was a picture of what Jesus would do for us. Now there's actually a physical picture when you put the blood on the doorpost and up here at the top. And then as that blood would run down, that blood would drip from the top down to the ground and it would form a cross, the shape of a cross. So it was a picture all the way hundreds of years before of what Jesus would do for us on a cross. But the Passover connects with us because it not only was it in, you know, a representation of Jesus, but it was during the Passover time that Jesus was actually crucified as the Lamb of God and then resurrected. But it was also the springtime. Number two is the springtime. Let's talk a little bit about the springtime. So 2 Samuel chapter 11 talks about the spring a little bit. This is what it says about David, the story of David and Bathsheba. Most people know that story, but it says, in the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle. The time when kings go out to battle. Now, how many of you are aware that the scripture calls you a king in the Bible? And Jesus is the King of Kings. The Bible says that we are kings and priests unto him. Okay? That's the anointing that we carry as God's children, every one of us. And so there is a time when the seasons, as Pastor Cindy was talking about, the times and seasons that were established early on in Genesis, in creation. But in the springtime, it says it's the time when kings go out to battle. But yet we know that David sent his army out, but he himself stayed home comfortable. See, there's a time when we have to be careful as kings, because we are all kings. We understand that there is a time to do battle. And if instead of obeying God and doing what God says to do, we choose to stay comfortable, we will open up the door to fall into temptation that we didn't see coming. I don't think when David stayed home, his idea was, I'm going to stay home so I can commit adultery. No, I think that he was in the wrong place because he wasn't where God would have him be, out doing battle for God, and he fell into trouble. And it led, and one sin led to another sin to another sin. I mean, it was horrible. It was the most horrible thing that David ever did. And it didn't have to be that way. So the springtime is a time of war. Can I tell you, neighbor, this is right now the time of war. God's people ought to be doing some battle in the spirit realms right now. Now, he's not telling us to go out and kill people. He's telling us it's time to do battle. It's time to go fight for the lives of people who are bound up, who are prisoners. It's time for us to do that. And good things happen in the spring. I mean, in the spring, you know, seeds are sown. In the spring, harvests come. I mean, it's in the spring when those things happen, right? It's in the spring, and there's something about this time, something about this season, something about the way God is moving in the earth right now. Tell your neighbor, it's springtime. Now, let me tell you one other thing about spring. There's another scripture, I don't have it, but there's another scripture that talks about the fact that every year in the springtime, the enemies of God's people, I believe it was the Midianites, would show up and steal the harvest from God's people every year. It happened every year. And God's people would go and hide from the enemy. Can I tell you the enemy's coming? Can I tell you the thief is coming? Can I tell you the enemy is coming to try to steal anything and everything that God has said belongs to His church, that belongs to His people? And we can work and we can labor, but if we're not careful, we'll let the enemy come in this season and rob and steal from us that which God intended to bless His church with. So we have a choice. You know why the enemy came and stole the harvest? Because the people weren't out there doing it themselves. Because the people allowed the spirit of fear to come over them. Can I tell you, since 2020, we're seeing that real heavy, that spirit of fear coming on to people. I mean, people, you know, churches shut down. Many of them never even recovered. I know of churches that have still not started doing services. They're still scared to death of COVID. So there's the seed sown. Now let's talk a little bit about this and how this applies to Jesus. Again, we're talking about it's the springtime and we want to spring into His resurrection power. In John chapter 12, verse 12 through 35, we don't have time to go through all of this. But it's talking about Jesus coming into town. He's riding on the donkey's colt and so on and so forth. And there's some things that are said and done. But then in verse 24, Jesus makes this statement. Now, He had just told His disciples, look, we're going to Jerusalem. They're going to kill me, right? They're going to take me. They're going to arrest me. They're going to do all these things. They're going to crucify me. But in 3 days, I'm going to rise from the dead, right? He just tells His disciples this, and then He makes this statement. He said in verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now, remember what we said here. It goes right along with what we were saying earlier. Jesus walked this earth in one body. Jesus, He was God, but He was somewhat limited in where He would be. I don't believe Jesus ever stepped foot in the United States of America, but you and me are here. Yes. Amen. There are a lot of places in the world geographically that Jesus never physically in His human body ever went to, but you and I are here. And Jesus makes the statement when He's talking about the seed falling to the ground, He's talking about Himself. This is what Jesus is saying. He said, guys, I'm about to sow myself for you. I'm about to sow my life into the ground for you. But there's going to be a great harvest. There's going to be a lot of fruit that come from that one seed. And thank God you and I are fruit from that seed. One grain produces so much when it dies. Now, here's the thing He's asking us to do. He's not asking us to necessarily physically die for other people, but He is asking us to die to self for the sake of other people. Because how many of you know you got to die to self if you're ever going to do anything for God that counts for anything? You got to humble yourself. You got to choose to do what He wants you to do instead of what you want to do. You got to choose to get out of what is comfortable for you. You got to choose to spit all over the front of a church if He tells you to do that. I don't know if y'all noticed that, but you got to choose to do what He tells you to do. I did not want to do this. I did not want to be a pastor. I did not want to do this kind of thing. I wanted to do what was comfortable for me, what I thought would be fun for me, and even do it in the name of Jesus. But God calls you to die to self. Sow yourself. This is the season of sowing yourself. This is the season that Jesus sowed Himself so that He could reap the harvest. And He says in verse 25, he who loves his life will lose it. But he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now, He's not talking about hating it like looking in the mirror and going, oh, man, I hate my nose. Oh, man, another hair in my ear. Oh, no, you know, He's not. Oh, man, that hair is starting to thin a little bit more. He's not talking about looking in the mirror and hating yourself in that way. What He's saying is stop preferring your own life over everybody else's life. Be willing to die to self so that others can come to life. Do what Jesus did. Sow your life so that a harvest of lives can come forth. That's what He's challenging us to. In this season and in this Resurrection Day season, I believe that's what he's challenging us to do. Now, that's an ongoing thing, but for some of you, it may start right here. Amen? Now, he made another statement, and I'm going to read this. He said this, "So the crowd stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. And others said, an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered, the voice came not for my sake, but for your sakes." Now, I posted this on my Facebook page the other day, but here's the thing. When God speaks, and I believe God's speaking today, when God speaks, some people hear the voice of God. Some people only hear thunder. It is a possibility that today some of you came in, you went through the trouble of getting dressed and coming to church, and God is speaking to you, but all you really hear is thunder. There's nothing that's taking you any further. You're going to keep doing what you've always done. You're going to keep just, you know, maybe be religious, maybe even show up for church, but you are not going to sow your life so that you can get a harvest that lasts for eternity. Now, I pray that that's not the case for anybody here. I'm just saying that there's a real possibility because somebody's hearing from God. Somebody's hearing His call. Somebody's hearing His voice speaking to them. Somebody is. But there's probably, if it's like anywhere else, somebody who ain't hearing God at all. You're just hearing a preacher thunder up here from the pulpit. Now, let's move on so y'all can let me come back and preach again sometime. The resurrection, number 4. This is found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through 15. Again, I don't have time to read through the whole thing, but the Bible tells us that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb, and it says that there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. And I love this. It says, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. There's just something about that. There's just something about the fact that he rolled the stone back, and then he perched himself on that. I can almost hear him saying, now what you going to do about that, devil? Come on, what you going to do about that? And of course, it describes him, and he looks like lightning, so on and so forth. And it says the guards were so afraid, they shook and they fell like dead men. And then the angel said to the women, he said, "For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." And by the way, that angel is verifying that Jesus was crucified. There are people who would try to tell you that Jesus never really got crucified. There are many people out there who would try to say that, although there's more proof of his crucifixion than there is that George Washington ever lived. But they would try to convince you. The Muslims try to say that it was an imposter. It wasn't really Jesus on the cross. Some of them even say it was actually, the disciples actually put Judas up on the cross. It wasn't Jesus. But the angel of the Lord said very clearly who was crucified. But he also said this. He said, he's not here. He has risen. Amen. I want to tell you, it's a fact, Jack. Now, then he tells them, he says, look, go quickly, go tell the other disciples and, you know, let them know what you have experienced, so on and so forth. And then later they run into Jesus, and then Jesus says pretty much the same thing. He says, go and tell the disciples what you experienced here. All right, now you can read through the whole scripture yourself, but the fact is that it was a resurrection. In the springtime, it wasn't just the sowing, but it was the harvest. The resurrection happened. There's a time the scripture said that the reaper will overtake the sower, that God will be moving in a way that you'll see the harvest coming quickly, 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 quickly. And I believe that the closer we get to the end of time, the more we see that happening. But this was a case of that. I mean, it was 3 days and the resurrection happened. Right? And with that resurrection came to us that same resurrection power. Now, we come in the form of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost a little bit later. But understand that that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives where? Right here. I want to say it again. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives where? Yes. Now, I want you to say it out of your own mouth. I want you to say, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. It's not a Holy Spirit Junior. It's not a Holy Spirit mini-me. It is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He lives in me. Everything Jesus did, I can do. He's empowered us. Now, I'm about to show you that. I'm about to just show you where he empowered his disciples. Now, of course, we know about Acts chapter 2 and when the Holy Spirit came. But before that, he empowered them by giving them, number 5, the Great Commission. The Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." By the way, there was only 11 disciples there, because one had taken things in his own hands and one had taken his own life. See, he could have come to repentance, but he refused to. He wanted to push his way, do things his way. He pushed his way while Jesus was alive and trying to force Jesus' hand into going into battle against the Romans, and that didn't work. So then instead of repenting and saying, "You know what, man, I was wrong about that," instead he did his own thing, his own way again, and he took his own life. I just heard today. I mean, this just broke my heart today. I just heard. So when they saw him, notice it says they worshiped, but some doubted. Again, in every church and every church service, just about, you're going to have those that worship and those that doubt. Those that hear the voice of God and those that only hear thunder. You know, this brain is so messed up. It is so jacked up. I like what Pastor Mike Mele says all the time. You can't trust this thing. In the fall of man, man fell right on his head. That thing is damaged. You cannot trust it. You have to hear from the Lord the things that he's saying to your spirit. And you have to renew that mind, because the world has warped it and messed it up. So some worshiped, some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said this. He said, "All authority." Everybody say, "All authority."
All authority.
In heaven and on earth.
And on earth.
That's important. In heaven and on earth. All authority in heaven and on earth. Man, there's none that got left out, all right? Has been given to me. Therefore, when Jesus said the word therefore, what he was saying is, I am transferring that authority I just told you about to you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. He was authorizing them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I told the first service, listen, I've been teaching on those very things, the things that Jesus taught and commanded his children. Don't walk out of this church hearing something that was taught by Jesus, that he taught to his disciples, that on and on through the ages now have come down to us, and I'm trying to teach to you. Don't think that this is just for you. The intention is for you to take a hold of it and go teach it to somebody else to make disciples. This was not just for those 11. This was for everyone who would become a disciple of Jesus Christ. He said, get a hold of these things that I have taught you and go teach them to other people and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go make disciples of all nations. It's why we do what we do, by the way. It's all nations. I refuse at the beginning. Look, we will never call this something like Highway Community Church. We love our community. But man, and we want to work in our community, but we're not going to limit ourselves to our community. Man, there are nations across this earth that God has ordained us to reach from right here in this little town. But he says, teach them everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. There will never be a time, as long as we are alive, as long as we're on this earth, no matter what happens, there is never a time when we're doing the will of God that Jesus is not with us. Look, we can be in the midst of terrible persecution, and Jesus is with us. We have his word. We have his promise. Now, some people better wake up, because we got some things coming down the line that ain't nobody ready for. I'm telling you. We are on the verge right now, on the verge, literally, of the U.S. dollar losing its value completely. Nations are lining up. The very nations of Scripture talked about, Russia and China, and those nations are lining up to put their currency together, all to completely devalue the U.S. dollar, to strip us of the comfort and the privilege and the blessing that we've been walking in for 200 years. You better not take it for granted. And you better have something to hang on more than the U.S. dollar. But we have His word. We have His promise. I'll be with you. He didn't say, unless they devalue the U.S. dollar. He didn't say, unless persecution comes. No, He said, I'll be with you to the very end of the age. And notice, every single one of these disciples that He was talking to in this moment, every single one of them literally sowed their lives for the lives of others like you and me. Every single one of them died a death, a martyr's death, because they refused to reject or to disown Jesus. The Apostle John, they tried to kill him. They boiled him in oil. It didn't work. But they tried. That didn't work, so they put him on a prison island called Patmos. But the truth of the matter is that the enemy couldn't do anything to stop these men from fulfilling the call of God on their life. The reason you and me are here today is because they did what Jesus told them to do. Amen. You know, we sang that song a while ago. Ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. But you know what? It's deeper than that. That's a good song. I love it. And one day this body, whether this body was eaten by a shark or burned alive and nothing but ashes, or if it goes in the grave and rots and turns to nothing but dust, God is going to cause every particle, every piece of the DNA, He's going to pull it all back together. He's going to rise this body up and He's going to glorify it. That's going to happen one day. But here's the good news. We don't have to wait until we die and are resurrected on that resurrection day to live a resurrected life. The life He wants us to live now is die to self, rise to Christ. Die to self, rise in Christ. See, that's what baptism is really about. We die to self, but we come up out of that grave and we rise in Christ, a new life. Amen. This resurrection life is a wonderful life. Now, I want to do two things here. I want to pray for you, but I also want to give an opportunity. If there's anybody in this room who've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you see the price that He paid for you. And the truth of the gospel you feel has begun to soften your heart, because, boy, we all show up with hard hearts. But the truth of the gospel has begun to pierce your heart, and you feel the Spirit of God tugging on you, saying, come to me. Don't let the death that I suffered be in vain for you. And you want to respond to that drawing. I'm going to invite you to do the bravest thing you've ever done, possibly. And really, it's not the bravest thing you've ever done. You're in front of a bunch of people who love you and are going to rejoice for you. But it may feel like the bravest thing you've ever done. I'm going to ask you to just simply get out of your seat and just walk up here. We're just simply going to pray with you, and we're going to get you started on your journey as a Christian, as a son or a daughter of God. Now, if you want to do that, we're going to give you a few minutes. Anybody, you're not living for Christ. It's not, you know, you don't have a relationship with Him, but you want that relationship to start. I'm going to ask you to come in front of these people that are going to rejoice for you. Listen, you can't go to church enough to get saved. You can't do enough good things to get saved. You have to make a decision to give your life to Him. Anybody, I just don't want to miss out. I don't want anybody to miss out. Then let's do this. I want to ask you this. How many of you are ready today? You say, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't feel qualified. I don't feel gifted enough, maybe. Listen, I'm just describing me. I don't know how in the world I could possibly do it, but God, I'm willing to sow my life as a seed. See, you can come and you can put money in the offering and say, you know, I'm giving my seed right now, but that means nothing if you're not sowing your life. You say, I'm willing right now to sow my life, God. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. And God, I want to begin to live that right now in this springtime, on this resurrection day. I'm going to commit. I'm going to surrender my life as a seed for your kingdom. And if that's anybody in this room, why don't you just lift your hand to the Lord? Just lift your hand. Now, if you don't mean it, don't lift your hand. But if you mean it, Listen, understand, God's going to hear you. I don't mean he's going to kill you. Doesn't mean he's going to have you boiled in oil. None of that's going to matter. That's not what we're talking about. But I'm talking about you are sowing your life as a seed. Now, Father, you see every hand that's raised. Lord, we don't want anybody in any way to feel manipulated in this house. But God, you know the hearts of every person. And Father, you see those hands. And Lord, for those who have said yes to you, God, that they're sowing their life as a seed for you, I thank you that resurrection power will be manifested in them in ways they've never seen before, God. I thank you, God, that their hands will be laid on the sick and the sick will recover, God. I thank you that even the dead will be raised. I thank you that bondages will be broken off of people's lives because of them. Lord, I thank you that they're part of the body of Christ, that you ordained and you empowered and you authorized. And I pray, Father, that their life would not be wasted, but Lord, their life would be fruitful for your kingdom, Father. Fruitful for your kingdom. Lord, I thank you that their life will matter for eternity. That long after they're gone, people, generations will come behind them because of their faithfulness, because they've sown their lives as a seed so that you could reap a harvest. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the anointing, for the power, for the boldness. Lord, I thank you for the gifting, everything that is needed to see that done. On this resurrection day today, God, we thank you that there is a new start. There is new life coming, Father. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you're in agreement, why don't you shout amen.